What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Today, I have a data scientist with me turned cosplayer, content creator, real estate agent, tattoo apprentice, actor, and aspiring cat breeder, Emmy Shee. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yay, I'm so excited. You live so many lives. You just said that you are the queen of side quests.
Yes.
Can you tell us about your journey starting as a data scientist and an artist in university and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so I've always loved data and I was a very sciencey person just growing up. I always loved looking at different facts and different I also really loved math. I know that's not very common in creatives, but I was just very into research, and my parents were also more of people of science, and they kind of swayed me that way too, and really discouraged art, actually. They were like, if they see me draw, they'd be like, oh, you're wasting your time. But, those can be surgeon hands.
So was it a balance then do you minored in art, right?
Yeah.
Did you balance that out then? If I minor in art, I can major in data science.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like my soul was kind of getting drained by just looking at equations all the time. So I had to do something creative to have a balance. I feel doing art is kind of a part of human nature, the way we love to dance and sing. And I think creating is just, I don't know, it's always been within me. And during college, that's when I also started tattooing my friends and people, which is why later after I quit my tech job, I went to a tattoo artist to take an apprenticeship. But I only tattooed here and there, and I kind of went to a different side quest after. Yeah.
The ADHD brain never sleeps, I'd say.
Yeah.
So you minored in art. Was there a specific medium that you liked the most, charcoal or watercolor or anything?
I really like acrylic and oils. My school, unfortunately, didn't have many programs with 3D design or anything that's very physical. I also actually really liked sculpting clay and things like that. But I think my main medium is definitely acrylics and oils, which right now is kind of conflicting because AI can just pull up the craziest things that you can imagine, way better than what you can physically paint most of the time. And yeah, so it's an interesting climate right now, where I'm do I spend 8 hours coming up with an idea and painting something or just generate something? I don't know. Do you ever feel that?
I am trying to look at it as much of a tool as I can in certain scenarios, if it can help me do something that isn't taking, I don't know, the position away from someone else, in voice acting or something like that.
Yeah.
I am hoping to, right now I'm trying to kind of stay away from it and see where things settle.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Voice acting. I don't think that AI can truly replace voice acting just because people's inflections and memes, the way people talk changes all the time. It's kind of I feel every 6 months people speak differently in a way. And I don't think AI can truly mimic it because it's collecting too much data. I also heard that right now is kind of the peak of AI, as in AI will never have this clear of data in the future ever compared to now, just because so much information is kind of regurgitated by AI, so many articles and videos. I read somewhere that more than 70% of all YouTube videos are uploaded based on just AI, where it's they type in a fact and then they voice it with AI, and then is it kind of scary? But
that
also
is scary.
Also, I think it's good that AI is kind of shooting itself in the foot by scraping itself and making the quality of data worse and worse.
Yeah, yeah. The post that has been going around that's like, I want AI to help me with my dishes and my laundry and not, like, that is where I stand on it too.
So real.
I agree that it's really difficult for AI to mimic like the soul of a person. Like, it sounds like a person, but it doesn't sound like it has feelings or emotion, which is a really big deal in voice acting. So I agree with you. I'm holding on to hope that that is the case forever, but yeah, you never know.
And I think there's more and more people that are resonating more with people who are more authentic, as in people are kind of more attracted to people who, like, online, when they like tell a story or like vlog and kind of things like that, compared to just like period thirst chefs. I kind of see like an active shift. Do you notice that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. With content as a whole, like social media as a whole, it's definitely way less polished and pretty content and way more like just somebody's like FaceTiming you, I would say. That's definitely more attractive, it seems. And I think it's the natural progression of things, because as in the millennial era when everything started to first start, like Instagram was created and everything.
That's what like DSLR photos were like, whoa, my God, it's crazy.
Exactly. It was like almost unattainable and it was so cool. Like, wow, how did they do that? Like, I could never imagine that. But as it feels like technology has advanced and everyone can take really beautiful photos with like the cell phone that they have in their pocket. And I think it's a natural progression of, well, now we've seen pretty and polished and editorial so much that we're craving some real authentic human connection, which I have mixed feelings about. I love a pretty polished, beautiful photo.
I'm like, I just want to like do this little trend like perfectly, but I think it doesn't hit the same anymore to a lot of different people, because it's like, oh, like is this AI? You know, like it's like, no, it is not. But I can see why you think that, and
Yeah, that's true too. If it's too perfect, people think that you didn't make it yourself.
Yeah, and also like Photoshop and stuff used to be so impressive. Like it was like, oh, I'm gonna like take out every pore, and then now it's like, oh, that's a filter. It's like, oh, that. But I used to just like actually like it was art. Like you're like painting on a face, you know? Like
yeah.
And now you can just like put a filter on, like
right. Crazy. It's crazy how things have like progressed and developed just in our lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
Well, a little less existential, but
sorry.
No. Tone shift, but you are in the nerd space too. You obviously do cosplay and content and go to conventions and stuff like that. So I'm curious what you enjoyed as a kid growing up, any like specific fandoms or anything that you loved or something that you saw and cosplayed for the first time?
I grew up in China for elementary school, and my teachers in boarding school actually showed us like Naruto.
Yeah,
they just played it on the TV like every time, like after we take a test or like during like self-study time, like Wanzixi, whatever, where they would just show us a bunch of like cool like mangas, and me and my friends used to pass around like more like banned things like Inuyasha, because it was like very gory, like it showed like, you know, just straight titty and stuff. And like I always really enjoyed anime growing up, but I didn't cosplay until after college, because my hometown that I moved to is called Bakersfield. And they're very, very conservative and like anti anything that's different. Like it was like, oh, like you watch anime. But I think a lot of people have that experience where you're like bullied for liking things that are outside of the norm. And I kind of just like hid that part away. But I also grew up playing a lot of video games with my sister, like a lot of different like Pokemon games. And
What video game do you remember from childhood that you liked?
I played a lot of Mario and Pokemon. I think Pokemon is like the main one because every year there's something that's new that's out. I played a lot of League of Legends in high school.
We all did.
And that was when League of Legends was like unhinged, but it was great. It was like, I have freedom of speech. Like,
oh my God. Yeah. A terrifying place, League of Legends, all chat. So you then, I'm just kind of working through your life. You, after college, cosplayed for the first time. What did you cosplay?
The first cosplay, I'm trying to think, like, does like Halloween stuff count, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
I guess I cosplayed Katana like in college, where I was like, I like love fighting games and, you know, I'm just gonna do it. And I forced my partner at the time to also cosplay with me.
Nice.
I'm trying to remember his character. Oh my God, I'm like blanking on it. But so Katana, I think, is the very first. And I cosplay Samus as like one that I crafted kind of from scratch. It's like, oh, I'm going to get like this print and then I'm going to put it together and make the shoes and like style the wig and stuff. It was pretty simple. Oh, yeah. And also like make the gun. Sorry, I'm going to silence this.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
What about you? What is your first cosplay?
My first cosplay was Android 18
from DBZ. Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah. And then a ton of League of Legends for years.
Yo, that's all I did. Dude, League of Legends cosplays, they're so complicated, but they're like they really like get your craft going.
So you made a bunch of stuff for Samus. Is there something that you like specifically as far as crafting goes that is your favorite part of the cosplay process?
I think my favorite part is always usually like painting things.
I feel like that is a lot of people's answers. It's like the work, like the stressful part's over and I just get to see it come together. And
foam and Warbler have always been a little frustrating to work with for me. I want to get better at it though. Just like with all the like cement glue stuff, like I want to kind of tap into it more. I think start to get existential again. It's like, I feel like there's a lot of people who like, or now just kind of go for fast fashion and with like fast fashion cosplays. And with our industry, it's kind of like keeping up with the trends. And if you can't like just craft yourself like immediately, like the trend is kind of over. So I did end up like buying way more than I craft. Like maybe I'll like kind of like hem things here and there, but I ended up kind of like outsourcing cosplays like in the future, and then just like, or since like after college, and I went like more of the e-girl route for online content creation just because it was like it seemed like the most efficient. But I would love to get back into art more because I think that was like the main like thing I enjoyed about content creation.
Yeah, especially with a painting background, I imagine that painting something would be your favorite. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with the fast fashion element of cosplay either. People's attention spans are so short now, and the pressure to keep content, pumping out content constantly, I think that that lends itself to buying costumes. I think everybody that does content is buying costumes nowadays.
Yeah, because it takes dozens and dozens of hours.
Yeah, I do remember back in the day when cosplay was very, there were a lot of purists. You have to make everything from scratch and you have to do everything yourself, and buying anything is
like making, frowned upon.
Exactly. But I think that that takes the fun out of it because cosplay is supposed to be,
it's like for everyone to enjoy.
That's
cool that you're not like a purist with cosplay, because I imagine it is difficult if you've like poured so many dozens and dozens of hours and then you see like the instant gratification like now, like how like it could be like a little difficult to completely accept, you know? But
Yeah, totally. I think content creation, social media, jobs, like, changed the game. The yeah. landscape is different now, for sure.
For sure.
So I'm going to work through all your side quests just because I'm interested in all of these different things. As a data scientist, you had a tech job, right, out of mm-hmm. college? And yeah. what was the turning point like for you when you decided to quit and do something else full time?
So it was when the pandemic hit. So my software company had a lot of cool amenities where there's, you know, like infinite alcohol and like a meditation room. There's like ping pong. And we always went on these excursions.
Very like, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in San Francisco. Oh, so nice. It was very like, we're trying to make this like as much of a like amusement park vibe as possible. Like, while you guys are doing like just computer jobs. And the turning point was when I work from home, I'm like, wait, like I actually do not enjoy this. And originally I planned to quit and go back to school. So I actually did enroll myself in a master's program for bioinformatics. So that's like combining data science with bio stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like sequencing like DNA things. But during the pandemic, as I was taking those classes, that's when I also decided to start streaming mm-hmm. and start like taking content creation more seriously. I'm like, oh, like now I have more time. Because also a 9-to-5 was really soul-sucking and draining.
Totally. Uh-huh.
Like I had to wake up probably like 7 every day and like start commuting by 8 because I live in Oakland and my office was in San Francisco. And there all day. And afterwards, it's always like, oh, like, what if we just all grab dinner? Like, it's like, I pretty much lived at work and the only people I hung out with and associated with was like my coworkers or like my roommates. And that was it. And I realized like my health was going to shit and my like, yeah, my physical health and mental health, like I was just like gaining a ton of weight. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't think this is healthy for me. And also just like your self-care goes all the way down. Like when you're just working and an office with the same people every day, like you just stop really like dressing up or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt like I really need to kind of like reground myself. And yeah, when I was trying to get my master's during the pandemic, the professors also had a lot of trouble teaching over Zoom because a lot of it was coding and you would have to need at least dual monitors to like take notes and like see the code. And then like a lot of times their screen share was also blurry and like all the tests were very like, you know, like, all the professors were adjusting to like everything too. So I ended up quitting after like one semester. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's not worth the money, I imagine.
Yeah. So, and that's when I decided like, okay, I'm gonna get my real estate license because I want to buy a house. And that's when I also started an OF and I was saving up a lot of money. And yeah, I got my license and then it, for the purpose of just buying my own place because I didn't like working with some real estate agents. Well, it was also during the pandemic. So it's like, oh, like we have to be careful here and like here are like some listings and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, but like if I got my license and I get the super key, which gets you access to every single house on the market.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I highly recommend getting a real estate license because why not? It's like 3 classes. It's like,
uh-huh.
And I took them completely online.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And now you can do all of your own house research.
Yeah.
It's really smart. You're hacking yeah. the system.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you wanted to do, so you decided to go full-time during the pandemic content creation.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to describe your online brand, your content in 3 words, how would you describe it?
Random-ish, because yeah, it's all over the place. Chaotic and I'm not sure.
Chaotic is a great one because I saw a video of you while we were researching notes for today where you did something, some sort of photo or video editing with your arms and then went down like a crab and then crawled across the floor and I was dying laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, chaotic, random, and like I guess e-girl too.
E-girl.
Yeah. Oh my God. Have you seen the one where I turn into a car?
No.
I like that one. And I think I posted it on Instagram.
It's Lightning McQueen. Yeah. So it's, but I think that that's awesome because it balances. I think if it's too unattainably hot girl focused, that sometimes it's hard for people to connect, right? But that is so funny and creative that I think it combines the best of these two worlds. So I think your online branding is pretty great.
Oh, thank you so much. Coming from you, the queen. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. I feel like we're all our own worst critics. Sometimes it's hard for us to feel good about what we're doing. So I appreciate that. You also talked about before we started doing some acting classes and having some experience acting. I know you were in Dragon Ball Son of Trunks.
Yeah, you saw that. Oh my God. Yeah. That was a film for my friend. It was a short film, which is 3 episodes now. But the first time I was in it, I didn't have any acting experience whatsoever. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? So I ended up taking some classes afterwards. But yeah, I had fun. Like, it was very interesting to see everything on set where, like, you film from all different angles and sometimes, like, you're spinning around, but then you say the same dialogue, like, over and over and over, and then they, like, piece it together. Like, film is, like, a whole nother thing. I've been in some music videos, too, but that's more, like, you know, you're in the background, it's just going, wee, and yeah. But acting's a whole different beast.
Yeah. I can only imagine. What have you been in that you think is a highlight? What are some exciting experiences that you've had so far?
For acting, I was in a Lil Nas X music video, and that was really fun.
I remember there was a screenshot of you, like, laying right next to him, right?
Yeah, in
one part of it. That's so cool.
Yeah. We were in Atlanta, and that's when I hit S up. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, come through. But I think it's really cool that, like, the cosplay space and, like, the music space is kind of, like, intertwining now, where it didn't really happen before at all. Like, totally. Where I feel like the film industry kind of not looked down per se, but thought that cosplayers weren't, like, oh, like, you didn't go to fashion school. And, you know, like, it was, like, very credential-based, like, back in the day. And I think now it's more, like what you can display. And yeah, I think it's really cool. I was also in the 21 Pilots music video and a Bud Light commercial for like 0.2 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest difference between doing like big productions like that versus doing content creation at home?
So big productions are usually completely out of your control. Like, you don't see the playback really. You don't see the product until it comes out. And you're given scripts where that you memorize, that you just have to do over and over without, like, I guess, looking backwards, just like a 10-second thing. So you're getting filmed for like minutes at a time, which is very different. It's a lot more prep. And also it's not, it's kind of like what the director and producers like create as an art piece, and you have to just trust the process, where like being like an e-girl is like, you know exactly like what you're gonna put out there. Like, you're like, you're kind of your own director and actor and producer and everything. Yeah, so when it comes to acting, it's like you just focus on the acting part, like the art part, and like worry about nothing else. Like, makeup and wardrobe are like done for you, kind of thing too.
Do you think that when you do productions like that and you don't have as much control over everything going on, is it welcomed where you finally get to take off some of the hats and give some of the responsibilities away, and so it takes some pressure off of your shoulders? Or do you like having control over everything?
I have mixed feelings on it, just because sometimes when I see the end product, I'm like, oh, like, I can't watch myself act because I, like, did not expect all these mannerisms. And I think I just don't watch play back enough of myself when it comes to like speaking a monologue, for example. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to let go and let loose and like not be as like controlling over aspects. Because I also think like there's pressure with being an e-girl of like looking a specific way, like, oh, the lighting is controlled, the angle is controlled. Like if I stream, it's like my camera is like right here and then the lights are right here, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, like everything looks great. But when it comes to acting, like, you know, the sun could be like right here and then there's things and like could be a lower angle. And yeah, it's definitely something that I'm like learning to completely accept. And I think it would be nice to kind of completely let go and trust the process and just focus on one category though, because sometimes like creating solo is stressful. Mm-hmm. And yeah. What about you for voice acting? Like, do you hear your voice and you're like, oh, they picked this part, like in a video game?
Yeah, I hear a lot of people say that they hate the sound of their own voice, and I feel very grateful that I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. But you have
a really nice voice. It's like so calming.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have been cast a lot of times as a like mom or a nurturing person, because I think I have like an encouraging, warm tone.
Yeah, like a ASMR voice. Like people can just listen to you all day kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope so. So I am excited about that. And I have been learning sort of to manipulate it a little bit and do like the little boy Ash Ketchum voice.
Oh my God, can you show it? Case something?
Maybe. I am so embarrassed to do it in front of people. I like really like my little box, my dark vocal booth box.
But you can do an Ash Ketchum voice? I can't embarrass myself first. I can do like a Pikachu, like, Pika, 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 Pika.
That's so good, though. I wouldn't say that I can copy Ash Ketchum, but the little boy
like
element.
Like Deku, like the wholesome main protagonist voice. Like,
yeah. Ooh. Exactly. I'll do it for you before we leave.
But not on the podcast. Not yet. Maybe on Patreon. I'm sorry.
Not yet. Yeah, not maybe yet. On Patreon. I'll do it on Patreon. But I am learning, because I think I hear a lot of people too talk about how when they were younger, they used to try to mimic things all the time, and that was what made them want to be a voice actor since they were little. And I feel differently. I never really had the vocal stims of trying to imitate Pokemon. I mean, every now and then, but it wasn't it's not something that I distinctly remember about my childhood. What I do love is video games, like World of Warcraft and League of Legends. So really, that like, sticks like, in like, my mind.
So
attack barks. And when I went to school, I studied advertising and specifically commercial or creative.
Oh my God, can you do like a Siri voice?
I don't think so. I've never tried. But I used to storyboard commercials. That was my data scientist.
That's so cool.
Equivalent was I was like working in like ad agencies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I connect a lot more to the commercial, like Lowe's commercials, because that's what I used to pay a lot of attention to, because that's what I did.
Ooh, so do you love ads besides on YouTube?
Yeah, I do. Like,
I kind of enjoy Hulu's ads.
I like ads.
This is what's relevant right now. And yeah, like, this is how people do things.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, I always stare at the advertisements, the commercials, and I am looking for the call to actions and where they are and
the scripts and
the shots. And so when
I just picture like a movie night, like there's a commercial break, everyone's like in the bathroom, we're like.
Yes. Yeah. And I've always been that way. I used to really enjoy watching the commercials just out of curiosity.
That was your like vocal tick thing for commercials, like, wow.
truly. So I've lost the plot. I don't remember what the question was, but.
So how you got into voice acting? So you didn't grow up mimicking a lot of voices, mm-hmm. but how did you find that this is your calling?
I just truly love video games lot. And I had a moment where I, not that I think that I'm going to age out of cosplay or content anytime soon, but the reality of it ending eventually started to kind of hit where I mm-hmm. was like, I'd like to think about what's next, you know, like a 5-10 year plan, maybe get something started now and just start taking small steps so that I have something lined up. Mm-hmm. that I am also very passionate and excited about. Mm-hmm. And I took I took one class and absolutely loved it.
Where did you take the class?
Online, actually. It was an improv for voice acting class. Very introductory. And all we did was play improv games. But we did a couple of script reads. And mm-hmm. the instructor's name was Jun Yoon, and he's here in LA, and he rocks.
That's awesome.
So cool. So I ended up doing a one-on-one with him afterward and was like, how do I do this? He was like, here are all of the steps for the next year.
Oh, my God. Dope. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. I just remember I played a lot of Diablo growing up, too, and I did play World of Warcraft, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I connected with a lot of the characters a lot, and I think that's why I like to cosplay so much, because mm-hmm. whenever I play a game, I will love a character and then want to be the character. But mm-hmm. I think this is another way to be the character.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Where we've switched. You are interviewing me now.
No, I want to get to that more.
I feel like I don't talk about myself a lot on this, so this is fun.
You're also on so many different side quests. You have like a whole podcast. Like, this is super cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I do also do a lot of things. We are similar in that way. Yay. So talk to me about cat breeding. That's a side quest we haven't gotten to yet.
That side quest has actually ended because I found that some of the like process is like could be problematic sometimes. Like my cat milkers who had two litters. I had cats before and I also had litters, but she like her personality completely changed and she like hated her kittens. And I'm like, oh, like I want to like think about her more and not just, you know, stress her out. Cause she's like, she's really little and she couldn't really like handle, like, so the first litter she had was 5 kittens and they were all like kind of huge and she was trying to like kill some of them where she's like, there's not enough nutrients here. So I kind of realized like it's like hit or miss when it comes to like breeding. And they're all in happy homes, like a lot of them went with my friends, but mm-hmm. yeah, that journey has ended. And I also think it is like a you have to be more attentive than you realize too, like when the kittens are first born, you have to make sure like all of them are feeding correctly and like the mom's not abandoning them. It's like a little bit 24/7 thing. I imagine it's like if you had like infants kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that, and then just because, yeah, having so many cats at one house is wild.
Yeah. Do you know Nick from Anime IRL? Connor and C. Hammer. I don't know how to describe him. He has many names, but I asked because he was just on the podcast and he was fostering a bunch of puppies and he was like, I'm going crazy. There's too many animals in my house.
Yeah. Oh my God. I have 5 chickens right now.
5 chickens?
Yeah. But they're super chill. Like they have a little coop. And like we have like a giant feeder and a like giant water thing. So they're really low maintenance and they're chill and they just like follow you around. They don't really like need too much. So like I would recommend chickens, and soon they will have eggs too. And I'm just gonna like give them to neighbors and friends.
Oh, I want an egg.
Yeah.
I request an egg.
Yes. I picked species that lay blue eggs too. So it'd be really cool.
Did you name them? Do they have names?
So at first, I got 3 baby chicks. One was black, one was cream white colored, and then one was orange. And I named them after the Powerpuff Girls.
Cute.
But Blossoms died because she was shipped in really bad condition. So like now the 2 are nameless, but they're like black and white. So like we're thinking like yin yang. Mm-hmm. And those three are like no names right now.
That's okay. But, you can let it come.
Yeah, like I'm like, well, what if like they die? I don't know. Like there's always that fear because there is coyotes in LA and mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's only been, so like the little baby chicks, it's only been a couple weeks. So they're still nameless right now. Like, oh, do we replace Blossoms with like one of the new ones or?
Blossom the second.
Yeah, Blossoms the second. Yeah. Sorry, I keep going off tangent.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I had like a brain reboot moment really quick. So we covered a lot of your many side quests. Was there anything that I missed?
I think we covered most of it. Yeah.
Yeah, all your lives. Emmy was nice enough to bring us some drinks.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So I want to know, because I think I might already know the answer based on my own experience. How do you go about balancing all of these different aspects of your life and still creating content? Because I feel as though storyboarding, creating, editing, uploading is so much work mm-hmm. as a content creator that it's almost impossible to get all this other stuff done.
Yeah, I definitely right now do not post every day, but I'm trying to kind of outsource editors and like video people to clip my streams. So like I just started streaming again. I took a very long break because there's a lot of, I was doing like different side quests, but now I want to see if I can just like do the clips, because if I'm just like playing a game or like like yapping like this, I think it's easier to mm-hmm. create content from that mm-hmm. compared to like storyboarding and like doing a bunch of stuff. But I'm like kind of doing a trial right now.
But you're streaming again. Mm-hmm. What do you stream? Do you stream video games or just chatting or both?
Kind of a variety. So mm-hmm. when I used to stream a lot, it was like I would do cooking streams and gaming streams and like therapy streams kind of thing.
Nice.
And right now I'm kind of just experimenting again and see what the meta is. So I guess in real life streaming is very popular right now. Mm-hmm. And so I want to try that. I'm going to China at the end of this month and I'm going to attempt and see like if I just like go around and try street foods kind of thing, mm-hmm. if it will be like a hit. But also right now I'm hyper focused on chess.
Okay.
It's super
okay.
random. So this came from a discussion between me and some of my friends of whether or not skill is based on the amount of hours you put in or like talent. And we were trying to figure out like what's a good way to measure that. And you know, social media is not like super measurable just because there's so many content creators, and also there are people who only do it like once a week or things like that. Or like even real estate, there are people who just get their license so they can like browse everyone's histories or like get access to the homes, whatever. So we're like, okay, like what about chess on chess.com, where there's like rankings? Mm-hmm. And so my goal is to try to get to the top 1% in 1 year. So like I'm kind of like hyper focused on that, which is around 1600 ELO. And I climbed from 600 to 800 right now. It's only been like a couple months, but we'll see if it will happen. So that's a focus right now.
Okay. Yeah. Are you streaming that?
Yeah, I'm streaming it, like sometimes playing against viewers and stuff, but I'm just like slowly climbing. I think it probably is boring some people, but like
hey, I mean, I was just talking to Auxiliary about this. But streaming, I think it's really important to do what you like so that you don't burn out, because otherwise if you're forcing yourself to do a certain thing over and over again, you might not have the longevity that you'd have had otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I think you should do whatever you want.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know there's always that conflict between like what will get the most virality or views and like fans versus like what you actually like to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of in the crossroads right now where I know in the future, like I want to like be, I don't know, like have a family and things like that, like just be like not like normie, but more just except like not, yeah, like not boxed into like one thing just because, mm-hmm. and we're all like multifaceted people. Like I kind of want to like somehow showcase it all. So I'm in like a weird crossroads right now mm-hmm. where I'm trying different things and.
Yeah, seeing what sticks, seeing what you like. Mm-hmm. I think that's totally fair. How did you decide on chess as a hyperfixation? Did it just come about?
So me and my friends were seeing like what can be like a tangible measurement for what can, yeah, like you can see like can if you can get on top of something. And also there was this famous study. I forget the name of the scientist who was trying to prove that geniuses are not born. It's like with their environment where he did an experiment. He doesn't play any chess at all. He put a lot of like chess books in the house and they only watched like chess on TV and they all became grandmasters under the age of 10.
No way.
So that's like the top 0.001% of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, so interesting. Like, I wonder if I can do that
too. I want to try to replicate it.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So are you studying or are you just playing over and over?
I'm mostly playing a lot, but I do solve like puzzles and I just got my first like chess book. So we'll see. And I'm like starting to remember like all the moves. It's like, oh, like my first move, I always do the opening of E4, which is like, you know, the board is like, A through H and then mm-hmm. like 1 through 8 mm-hmm. and then when you flip it if you're on the black side it's the opposite mm-hmm. so I'm like starting to remember the board just like as you play so mm-hmm. slowly gaining IQ with
that. Yeah, that's awesome. I am looking forward to seeing where you end up in the next couple of months.
Thank you.
Send me an update. Will when do. You break 1,000.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah, that's my goal right now. It's like real to 1,000, let's go.
Fuck yeah. Do you shit talk like in League of Legends?
You can, well, sometimes like you can talk on the chat itself, but I just shit talk like on stream a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out loud. Get it out. There's something about multiplayer gaming. We have to bring back the shit talk, I think.
I think so. I wish Nintendo had shit talk. Like, like imagine Mario Kart Online.
Crazy. Crazy. And Mario Party too would be crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think, if anything, helped you with content creation that you carried over from being a data scientist?
I was definitely really good with observing analytics and like knowing what will hit. But I would say like, over the years, I kind of stopped observing as much because I think it was very like all consuming in a way where, but also before it was much easier because it was like you post one picture a day at the same time every day for like a few months and then your account will blow up. Like that was the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like 3 reels a day on like TikTok and YouTube shorts and you have to keep on chasing the trend to be relevant. And it is truly a full-time job or like more than a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it, I think since social media became monetized, like since Meta is paying out thousands of dollars in, you know, YouTube everywhere, it became way more of a competition and way more of like way more gamified of what can just catch the most attention where it could be just like clickbaity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm in like a weird like blocker right now, but I think I'll like surpass it. Like, mm-hmm. I think I'm in like a mode where I'm like figuring it out and like whether or not I want to try the like 3 reels a day kind of thing and like see where it goes. But also, yeah, like I would have to really lock it in.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel similarly. I also am in a weird place right now where I don't know if I want to do the 3 reels a day thing either.
Yeah.
Or because I come from this advertising background, right, where branding is very important.
Yeah.
And I always loved the high-quality HD camera, mm-hmm. pretty like photos.
High effort.
Like, high effort. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So the 3 reels a day, I think, you tell me what you think, is almost – I want to say low quality, low effort, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all or disrespectful way, but it's very quick.
Yeah.
Look at your phone, say something really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I am scared, I think, to be that type of creator.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it represents me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long I could keep it up.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I feel, yeah, the same way with like, oh, well, I can do this exact trend. Like, I save a bunch of funny things and like, well, I can do it. But like, does it actually like enhance my brand? You know, like, yes, like it's funny, it'll get views, but does it actually like resonate with me?
Mm-hmm.
But I also know there's like direct ROI. Like, I have some content creator friends that post like, I don't know, 5-6 times a day. Like, I don't know if you know Brad.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like pumping out, like, it's like, all right, here's a skit. Does everybody do this? So like, he's just a content machine. Like, mm-hmm. his existence is just content.
I did one of those days with him before.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he's constantly having to like observe the trends, because it's not just like you film and you're done. You go home and you edit and then you keep on like doom scrolling to keep on finding these things so mm-hmm. you can come up with the ideas. And mm-hmm. I do think it's all consuming, and it's like you either have to be that and succeed or you like do different things as well, you know, like it's one or the other. Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. I was just having this exact conversation, I want to say yesterday or the day before, mm-hmm. It's such a different landscape now online in general, social media, where I have the same type of issue. Do I want to bend over backwards, like kill myself trying to do every trend or like every new character as fast as I possibly can?
Yeah.
And be the fastest person to do.
Yeah. It's XYZ. Like, oh, this show just came out on Netflix. Uh-huh. It is suddenly popular. Let's mm-hmm. do that right now. Drop everything.
Drop,
you know?
Everything. Yeah, exactly. And whether or not that's worth it, because there's a give and take of, okay, you can be the first person to do it. It could be executed really well. And there's mm-hmm. a potential that it will do really well online. What mm-hmm. does that do for me, as opposed mm-hmm. to dropping everything and getting that done will put mm-hmm. me behind on so many other things
mm-hmm.
now that there's other, like now that there's the podcast, now that I'm trying to do auditions for voice acting and
yeah.
everything else, you know, answering emails, doing mm-hmm. like living.
Yeah, it is a trade-off.
Keeping up with everything, yeah.
Yeah. But I do think it's worth it to still like be grounded with the other things that you do, mm-hmm. because I think once it, like, if that's the only thing you do, I think you do miss out on a lot of different things, and it'll mm-hmm. be hard to like completely pivot back to the things that you missed previously on. Like, for example, if you haven't seen someone for years because every time they have a birthday, there's like some project, it'll be like hard to kind of rekindle that, like mm-hmm. like, sure, you can, but then you still have missed out on like a lot of lore and like, you know, like, or like family time. I don't know, like, it's like, what is the right answer to human existence?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's like, is the grind, like, is glory and grind like the answer to life, or mm-hmm. like the purpose of life, or right. is it like to enjoy time with things you want to do and like with loved ones? Like, it's always mm-hmm. conflicting.
Yeah, it's a crazy line to walk, because there is no right answer, mm-hmm. but it feels like there should be a right answer.
Yeah, because like, I also picture myself, it's like, oh, if I had like all this glory, like I would be so satisfied, but then, yeah. like, you know, like, but grass is always greener, or right. you don't know how the mm-hmm. grass is. Yeah.
Right. And a lot of us, I think, because our brands are ourself, which I bring up a lot on this podcast, and we're not selling like bracelets or jewelry, or we're not Target, we're not like an auto repair, we're us,
yeah.
right? And we are our own brand, that success feels personal,
yeah.
and failure feels personal.
Yeah.
So separating your sense of self from work sometimes can get very difficult,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to work as hard as possible almost feels like you, something
it's
you
like
have
a drive,
to do.
Like, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And exactly. subconscious, and you feel like guilty relaxing. You're like, but I could be making reels right now. Like,
yeah. And you go on vacation and you're trying to relax and you're like, I should take pictures.
Yeah. You're like, oh, but yeah, like, look cute. And yeah, no, mm-hmm. it's, Yeah, definitely hard to be an influencer. But like, I think we still have it, like we're still in between. Like, so I think being like cosplayers and like e-girl influencers is different from like if you're a vlogger. I think that's more consuming where you have to like everything you're doing, you have to document it. And then it's like never separating from work, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's an interesting topic to talk about. It does make you feel less alone, I'd say. Mm-hmm. There's comfort in knowing that other people are experiencing the same things that you are, but it is uncomfortable knowing that there isn't a true right answer.
Yeah, there's either. Like no true right path. Like every path is right and wrong in its own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I feel like if we're going to get super existential, I feel like I define myself a lot by my job. I feel my internal confidence or like my internal self-talk is dictated a lot by how well I feel like I'm doing. Mm. So I always feel like I have to push as hard as humanly possible. And that makes me That calms my sense of self, like of feeling good about myself and feeling good about where I am in the world really stems from how I perceive my success specifically in work.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a problem with this.
Late stage capitalism brain that we have to break from. But is that defined by like monetarily or like by views or like what is like the measurement of success for you? Because I'm trying to get into the mindset and headspace of if it's a piece of work that I'm satisfied with, like I should see that as success, even if it doesn't blow up. But it's very hard though, because
it is very hard. But I agree with that. That is how I feel. I don't think it has to be one of those things for me specifically. As long as something I feel like something is working, then I feel satisfied.
But what is like the working part? Is it like the like views or like engagement, like the income, or
I think all of the above, any of the above, really. But lately, specifically, I'd say it is just getting content out makes me feel satisfied.
Oh my god, mood! I'm not putting that much content out, so I'm like, I just need to like actually do it and like actually like be happy enough with something to post and like
I'm trying to post all my drafts and things that even if I don't think they are
polished enough
seek
discomfort
because I think too because everything is changing and people really are connecting with authenticity, I am trying to let go of the need and desire obsessively to be perfect and polished all the time and have everything be super high quality. I'm trying to give myself grace as well, is what I'm trying to say. I feel like I'm in a similar headspace as you where I think that it's okay if I experiment in this time and see if I like to do the post consistently as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like it is clicking, then I'll keep doing it. But if I feel an aversion to it and want to just do more high quality stuff, then that's okay. But I'm trying to give myself the space to freedom. Try.
Yeah. Utilize all your free will and you can always pivot back to what you do if it doesn't work or if you're not satisfied with it.
Exactly. Do you we mentioned you doing the really funny comedy style videos as well, the turning into the car
like a spider.
Do you prefer creating like funny meme content? Or is it something that you feel like balances your other content?
I think I prefer to do funny meme content, but then I think I still get affected by what my fans want. Like the male gaze is strong. You know? Like I feel like what people truly want from me is just the, like, you know, just, oh, sit there and be pretty kind of thing. But also, I feel like there's not like a true longevity with that. Like there's, you know, someone turning 18 every single day and locking in fully with, you know, all the resources in the world. And I feel like as we just get older and like more tired, I don't think like age is the limit. I think it's more of that you get, you, that's not the only thing you're focusing on anymore. Like as you like develop as a person, you kind of prioritize more than just like numbers and stuff. And I remember like when I first got into social media, it was like a really stimulating game. But I think over the past few years, I felt like the male attention is no longer as like satisfying. Like it used to be like, ooh, they think I'm hot. Yeah, I tricked you. Like, but now it's like, oh wait, like men like anything. I don't know. Like,
yeah, that's fair. I think, I mean, I really agree with a lot of what you're saying. There are a lot of priorities. And I'm curious what you think of the, I mean, it's pretty much capitalism, but the, how do I put this? The mindset that if you're the one who's willing to stay super late and put in all the extra effort, you're going to get rewarded by with XYZ numbers, engagement, money. But then now that we've grown or social media has changed, do you resonate with that still?
So an existential thing for me that I observed like kind of within the past year is hanging out with my dad again. So my dad was I was very busy with his company. So he was a doctor and researcher, but he quit being a doctor to like kind of sell this autoimmune disease treatment as a startup. And we grew up like pretty like underprivileged and like impoverished, where like it was a lot of just like conflict in the house, but he kept at it and he worked like very, very late hours. And eventually by the time I went in college, like he got very wealthy. But he always worked overseas. Like my family or my mom and sister and I moved here in middle school, and then just pretty much only saw him like maybe once or twice a year.
Wow.
And in the pandemic, I didn't see him for like 4 years. But basically now though, like he like moved here. Well, like he also like my parents divorced like 10 plus years ago, but he also like has like a new wife with like two kids and stuff. But he's just like every time if I ask him like what he's looking forward to, he's like just spending time like with you, like with family. He like literally nothing else matters, which is really interesting because he got incredibly wealthy like over time, where like I remember like growing up, we had like a beater car, and then I remember like in like fifth grade, we got like a Honda, and it was a big deal. It was like, oh my God, like, wow, like we actually like bought a car for once. And then eventually it was like Mercedes, and then it was like supercars. So I'm like, oh wow, like in college, it was like McLarens and stuff. I'm like, that's crazy. But now that he's older, like he's like, oh yeah, like the only thing that really matters are people that like, you like love. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, don't tell me that I'm in my grind. Like, I'm 30,
I'm
bitch.
In my
like,
grind.
Bro, like he started his company at like 30. And it's like,
yeah.
Like he's like fucking with me right now. It's like, dude, you were absent. Now you're back when I'm in my grind. Like,
yeah.
But like, it's
like
weird.
I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to do the same.
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, because he just wants to hang out all the time. I was like, I don't have time. But then I feel so bad because it's like catching up on lost time kind of thing. And he's getting older. Like, yeah. I don't know if you have older parents or like, do they like try to hang out?
Yeah, I feel like a very similar thing is happening to me. Not the exact same, but where family members are reaching out again and trying to spend more time together.
Yeah, it's like, bro, like when you know you're just absent. So like I got into all this like social media stuff. They do not know. Like my family still doesn't know what I do. They still think I work in tech and stuff. But it's like now you're back, and then it's like, I don't know. It's hard.
It is hard. It's a different mindset, headspace. If you will.
Mindspace is a good word.
Mindspace. It's a different mindspace when you talk to someone who you only know, say, when you were a child and talked to a certain way and had a way of thinking. And now that you're older and you think a different way and have a different headspace, when you talk to them, it almost feels like you revert back to being a child.
Yeah, you're like, wait a second. Yeah, it's like, but wait, I need to do my own thing. It is hard though. Like, do you, are you also close with your parents, or like, were you like not close and then got close again, or?
A tumultuous up and down from the get-go, I'd say. We go through phases. Right now we're in a good phase.
Okay. And do you think that kind of like deters you from grinding like 3 meals a day kind of thing, if you're like really close or not really?
I wouldn't say that we're super, super close. So it doesn't, I don't think it affects me the same way. They're also very far away. So
yeah, I like, so I help move my dad and aunt and like family to here, to like LA County. And I'm like, oh God, like they're too close. And
they're here all the time.
Yeah. They're like, oh, like you want to grab dinner like this week? Oh, when can you? Like, it's like, oh, like every time there's any person's birthday or my birthday, it's like there has to be like something that goes on. And it does kind of like disrupt the flow a little bit. Yeah, there's like a lot of family obligations. I'm kind of like, wait, what if I just like moved a little further away or something? I
don't know. What if I, you could go, you could have an alias, a different, tell them that you moved away and don't actually move away and just like wear a headscarf and sunglasses everywhere.
So funny. It's just vacationing. Like,
Yeah.
Just gone all the time.
I'm just going to be in a different country, but like kind of forever. Well, I appreciate you being here. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you.
We have officially hit our hour mark for Patreon or YouTube. So amazing. I know, time's flying. Thank you so much for joining me today and talking about all the existential crisis topics. Yeah, it was nice to get existential. We got deep. So I appreciate your vulnerability and sharing all that stuff with me and the internet. So let everybody know, if they are looking to follow you online, how to find you.
Just Emmy_XI.
And do you have any projects coming up that you're excited about?
So I'm going to do in real life streaming in China on Twitch starting November 30th-ish, or whenever Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays will be. Oh, wait. No, actually, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 7 p.m. is I'm converting the time. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about China, but it's lit there. Like, there's great public transportation, great internet, great street food. Yeah, so come through.
Yay! Exciting! Well, you mentioned earlier that you got an explant. Can you talk me through the process of that and why you wanted to get your implants removed?
Yeah.